Merry Christmas. We are so fortunate to be in your homes today during this Christmas season as we rejoice in our Savior and remember the birth of Jesus and the reason he came, to provide the gift of salvation for everyone through his death and resurrection and our acceptance of that gift through our faith in him. I'm Mike Salem. From all of us here at Christian Worship Hour, we are grateful for your continued support and prayers for this ministry. This is the last week in our series of Songs for Christmas. We hope today's message from my dad, Pastor Salem, titled The Song of Simeon, will be of encouragement to you. We pray that the peace, love, and joy of Jesus Christ will fill your hearts and homes this Christmas. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to our service today. And is it ever a special service? It's Christmas Day. And you just can't believe it, because the time comes and goes. And I'm going to tell you a little secret. The older you get, the faster time goes by. But here it is, Christmas Day, the day we celebrate the birth of the dear Lord Jesus. And we're going to be thinking about the Simeon today. And he has a song that, I tell you, it is filled with prophecy. It'll bless your heart. But first of all, we want to have our opening prayer. And we're reading from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. And this is over 700 years before Jesus is born. Isaiah talks about him, prophesies. This is what he says. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and of his name, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now listen to this. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment, with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That means God's power is going to bring it to pass. Oh, what a wonderful Christmas message. Dear Jesus, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for dear Jesus that you gave to us Christmas Day, born of the Virgin, laid in a stable, laid in a manger. And then, oh, he grew to manhood. And then he gave his life for us on the cross and was raised the third day. Thank you for Jesus. And this Christmas time, Lord, this Christmas Day, let's all of us be sure that our heart is open to the Savior, that we don't shut him out, that we don't turn him away, but that we open our heart to Jesus. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Jan's going to sing a song, Holy Child. And God bless you, Jan. Well, thank you, Jan. Christmas Day, isn't it a wonderful day, a special time of the year? And I know of all the seasons, I like Christmas the most. Then I like Easter. But nothing takes the place of Christmas. And I think it's because it makes us so tender and loving when we think of Jesus, that wonderful Savior, born of the Virgin, a little baby, God held in human hands. Oh, we can't imagine it. We can't understand it. But we know it's true. You came and then grew to manhood and paid for our sins on the cross. What a wonderful Savior. And it's our prayer that the dear Jesus is in every heart. And if he isn't, we're praying that during this very service, you'll pray, ask him to come in, be born in your life. Well, we get letters. Oh, we get some nice letters. It's just wonderful. We read every one, and a lot of them we pray for. And I want to share some of them today. The first one comes from Colorado Springs, Colorado. Thank you for your program. I love every bit of it. Keep going. I'm 84 years, and I want to be an answer to my mother's prayers. Listen to what she said. I was the most worst kid. Also, my grandparents that took my sister and I in when our dad left. My mother's health broke when daddy left, so they're alone, and the grandparents took them. I want them to know, listen to what she says, I want them to know their work was not in vain. Now that means after mother's gone on to heaven, the prayer's answered. I've seen that a good many times in my ministry, over 72 years. Somebody will come in a service, and maybe it would be today, and they say, my mother prayed for me. My mother begged me to serve Jesus, and I lived like a crazy man in the world. And I never did accept him, but I'm going to come now. And I think mother knows that in heaven when that boy comes back. Now he's a man, he's probably an old man. Some of you men, it seems like it's the men. The women, they come, but these men, they just sit there like a bump on a log. And they get in a rut and they don't listen. But you better get out of that rutter. You're going to slide right into hell. You got to have Jesus. And I'm praying that during our service, Christmas Day, you ask Jesus into your heart. Wouldn't that be great? This lady did that. Here's Hopkins, Minnesota. Anyone who can survive without selling books or putting on performances has to be blessed to God. Keep up the good work. It's working. With thanks and a prayer. Well, that's what we do. We don't beg for anything. We tell you have a need because we don't. You know, James says you have not because you ask not. So if we never tell you we need anything, you probably figure we're all set. So we tell you our need, and we're never ashamed to do it. It's for God Almighty. And then you take it from there. It's the ball's in your court. Here is Tucson, Arizona. Enclosed is a check to help your ministry. We've been watching the worship hour for the last year, ever since we moved to Tucson. My husband is homebound, so we're unable to attend our church. I'm beginning to understand the Bible more with your explanations. Thank you so much, and may God continue to bless you. And the reason she's understanding it is because we're preaching the Bible. We're preaching the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, and it applies to your heart. And so that's the secret of it. We've been on now for almost, 38 years, I think, and about that. And God's always supplied our needs. It's because we honored God's Word. And right along with this, let me tell you something we have. We have a little Bible study. And if you want a little Bible study, you write to us and you ask for the new song. Get your pencil and paper. I'll give the address in just a minute or two. But you ask for the new song, S-O-N-G. And what it is, it's a little Bible study every month. And this month, it's the gift from God, the gifts from God. And then next month it'll be something else. We also have excerpts from letters that we get. We have the sermon topics and the scriptures. You can read them ahead of time. So it's a wonderful little booklet, little paper, the new song. And you get your pencil and paper. We'll look into that in a minute. But let's look on here now. Here we have Cole Camp, Missouri. I'm an 82-year-old widow. I'm still working a 40-hour week job in a factory, so I don't hear very good. But I can jam the TV up and hear you. That's the main reason I don't go to church. You preach the Bible. Please pray that I can learn to help others also. And so here's what she does. She turns her TV up so good and loud that the neighbors can hear. And we had one lady wrote in. She was in an apartment house. And she says, I open the door, and then I turn the TV as loud as it'll go so everybody will hear about Jesus. And, well, good luck. I hope they don't throw you out of there, honey, because I don't know how that's going to work, but you can try it and just get the word out. But you need what you can do is you can tell people to listen, tell them it's a blessing. And if you want to, you can tell them, they got a preacher there. He's over 95 years old. And I tune in every week to see if he's going to make it. See? And you can do that. And they'll say, oh, I wanted to see that too. Maybe I'll see him go. And so you come on and we'll just see where we end up. See? In the meantime, you might get saved. Wouldn't that be good? Here's North Highland, California. Just letting you know I got saved watching your program. That's what we're, oh God, isn't that beautiful? Now we send literature to this person. I can't remember if it's a lady or a man anymore. But we send literature to them on how to get started in the Christian life. I got saved watching your program. I asked Jesus to forgive my sins, enter my heart during your program July 30th. I've joined a wonderful church full of beautiful people. They preach Jesus and we worship him. Well, God bless you and your program, faithful friend. And that's what we want you to do, accept Jesus. And then get into a church. Find a church where they're preaching the Bible. Not just talking about it and a lot of little stories or something. Where they're preaching the Bible. Look for that and find Christian friends. Reed Point, Montana. Oh, Montana's a beautiful state. Well, I've been there. I used to be in Belfoos, bordered Montana. So know a little about Montana and Wyoming. And they say, your wonderful program has been a blessing. Your wonderful program has been a blessing to this ranch family for years. You are my dad's only church and avenue to Christ. At age 90, he called everyone into his hospital room to watch the program. Thanks for your faithfulness. And isn't that nice? Here he's 90 years old, and he's urging people to hear about Jesus. And that's the only thing that counts when you come to die. Do you know Jesus? If you don't have Jesus, if you're not born again, if you haven't accepted him into your heart, oh, my God. It's a terrible thing, as the Bible says, to fall into the hands of an angry God. And it's all your own doing, because you can avoid that by accepting Jesus. Let me tell you right now how to accept Jesus. You just say, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner and I've committed sins and I ask you to forgive me. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll forsake them the best I can. I'll follow you. I'll make you my Lord. And thank you, Jesus. That's it. If you'll make that prayer, you're a child of God. You've been born again. You ought to do it. Hope you'll do it. Christmas Day. What better time? Here's Boynton Beach, Florida. I wanted to send an offering to your ministry that blesses so many, but I didn't have it in my budget. Then God said, do it anyway. Obeying God is never a gamble, as when I opened my water bill today. I had a credit of zero. Just for the moment, the amount God encouraged me to send you. Never had a credit before. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen every time, but here's a lady that God laid it on her heart, and she didn't have the money, but she sent it anyway, and God made it up to her. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen every time, but I'm telling you this. Don't give your last nickel to the Lord. Give your first nickel to the Lord. I had a man in my church way out in western South Dakota, Belfoos, and he always say, I gave my last dollar to the Lord today. Oh, I got so tired. I said, George, Don't never give the Lord your last dollar. You give him your first dollar. When you get that paycheck, you take out that 10% first, and then you give. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what Jesus taught us in the New Testament. Well, let me see. One more. Olivet, South Dakota. Oh, I like this. Just a short note to let you know how much we really appreciate your good old gospel preaching and the saving grace of Jesus. We pray for you and your staff and ministry every day. We thank you for your prayers for us. Someday we'll meet in heaven and talk over old times, right? You betcha. Take care, your old cowboy friend. I have four cowboy friends that I know about. And I got one sheep herder friend. Now, I used to be a sheep herder, not a cowboy. And so you say, well, you heard from four cowboys and only one sheep herder? Then that the cowboys must be more spiritual. No, that's not it. You see, the sheep herder's taking care of sheep, and those things run crazy, and once they're lost, they're lost. He doesn't have time to write. He's chasing those sheep down. See, but oh, we'd love to hear from more sheep herders. But anyway, if both are sinners, just poor old sinners, saved by the grace of God, and now we work for the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of you can do that. You can't all be preachers. Lord have mercy. We don't want all everybody preachers. But you can be a servant of the Lord. You can be one that's helping bring people to Jesus, whether they're sheep or cattle or what. They're all sinners, and they need Jesus. Well, we need your help in this work. So you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to order that new song, then you can put that in there. Just put new song and we'll send it. That's free. And I hope that you're right. And then if you want to, you can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And you can send it over the internet. Just under donate, you can send it internet. And we'll get it in American money. Any part of the world comes in with them in the U.S. currency, and we pay our bills. And maybe God is saying, you need to support that ministry. And because that's our only support is God's people. We're not underwritten by any organization or corporation or church or denomination or anything else. It's just God's people. We preach and we wait. And as long as we get it, we'll keep preaching. When we stop getting it, we'll stop preaching. Just that simple. Don't need to be smart to do that. If God isn't in it, I sure don't want to be in it. And I want to tell you about this. When you send a gift to the Christian Worship Hour, you can know that it's taken care of honestly because we are a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And what they do, if you're a member of their organization, then you agree that they can come in and check your books any time of the day or night, whenever they want to come. They're always open. Then they check our books. They audit our books to see if we have a receipt for every penny we get. And something else they do, they check to see how we spend it. And we spend it in spreading the gospel. That's all we do with that money, is to get more stations, radio, television, whatever God lays on our heart. And so you need to help us. Just pray, ask God what he wants us to do, and then we'll be happy to follow through. So now Jan is going to play, and then you make your gift, and then I'll pray first, and then we'll just have God glorified, do his will and be glorified. Dear Lord, thank you for those multitudes over the years who have supported this ministry. Thank you for those who are right now helping us, right now writing their check and getting it ready. And we just pray that you'll bless them and help them to know they're laying up treasures in heaven, where moth or rust doth not corrupt. Thieves don't break through and steal. It'll be there when they get there. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, we're reading from Luke chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, I know some of you do have your Bibles, Luke chapter 2, and turn to verse 25. And we're going to be talking about an old man named Simeon. And he made a song, gave a song, and it was a prophetic song, and you can't believe all that was in his song. So you stay with us. You'll enjoy it. You'll be blessed. On Christmas Day, we're talking about Jesus Christ and his future and the things that are coming in the future. So we read beginning with the 25th verse, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when his parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. In our prayer today, we're going to include the persecuted church in North Korea. So, dear Lord, we thank you for this song of Simeon. We thank you for all of the wonderful things it tells us about, things that have come to pass, and yet some still yet to come to pass. And so we rejoice in your word that you sent it to us and kept it in the holy book so we can be inspired and challenged and encouraged and helped. And this Christmas day, Lord, oh, we just pray for everyone. I know that for some people, this is the first Christmas without a loved one. And that's a hard time. My wife has gone 11 years now. And Christmas Eve is when she went to be with you. And so there's some that are lonely hearts, and there's some that are just wondering. But, you know, just we know that you're the balm of Gilead, and we know that you'll comfort hearts and you give us peace. And like old Simeon said, oh, he rejoiced because he's seen that salvation. And we see that salvation in Jesus. And so comfort hearts and strengthen us all. And especially we think about our brothers and sisters in North Korea. And, oh, God, we know they're dying there. They're being put to death, and families are split up, and children don't know where the parents are, and vice versa, and it's terrible. But so we know that even this Christmas time, the Christ child, now the Son of God, the Holy Son of God, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for all of these people, everyone who's having a struggle. And someday you're going to take us home, and you're going to honor them, and they're going to wear the martyr's crown. They're going to be blessed, and the trouble's going to be over. And so we just thank you for that hope we have in Jesus, wonderful Jesus. So this is Christmas Day, the day your Savior came. Help us all to draw close to each other and close to you, and help us to serve the wonderful Christ. And to those who've never opened their heart to the Savior, we're praying that this hour he may be born again in their hearts. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hank's going to sing, It's Christmas Time. God bless you, Hank.
It's Christmas time all over the world, to people near and far. It's Christmas time all over the world, no matter where you are. Though Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he lives in people's hearts. And this Christmas time, all over the world, from Maine to California and everywhere in between. There's people who love Jesus, people we've never seen. From Alaska to Jamaica to England across the sea. Even if you go to Tokyo to celebrate Christmas Eve. It's Christmas time all over the world, to people near and far. It's Christmas time all over the world, no matter where you are. Though Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he lives in people's hearts. And it's Christmas time all over the world. When Jesus came to Bethlehem, with love he came to save. Now there's people all over this big wide world who celebrate Jesus' birthday. Yeah, it's Christmas time all over the world, to people near and far. It's Christmas time all over the world, no matter where you are. Though Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he lives in people's hearts. And it's Christmas time all over the world. Yes, it's Christmas time all over the world. Merry Christmas, y'all. God bless you.
Well, thank you, Hank. God bless you. And it is Christmas time all over the world. And guess what? Christian worship hours all over the world, too, by the grace of God and the gifts of God's and prayers of God's people all over the world, with television and shortwave radio and one message, Christmas Day, the day of the Savior. Praise God. Oh, it's wonderful. I love to preach because I have such a wonderful message, the message of the Savior who came and gave himself for us eventually on the cross. Though he was dead, he was raised again. He's at the right hand of the throne of God. He prays for us all the time, prays for his people all the time. Well, we've been looking at the songs of Christmas, and today we're going to look at the last one, the Song of Simeon, Song of Simeon. We know nothing about Simeon and his life before he comes on this scene. And guess what? We don't know anything that happened to him afterwards. We just come one time. Sometimes we hear people claim Simeon was a priest, but there's no grounds for that. And then sometimes tradition tells us that Simeon was 113 years old, but there's really no proof of that. Most scholars put him at an advanced age. And St. Luke tells us, the only one who tells us about Simeon and his precious little that we have is bound up in one verse. This is what it says. Luke tells us in verse 25, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." So we're told that he was righteous and devout. Righteous describes his relationship with other men, his fellow men. That means he was a good man. He would keep his word. You could deal with him. Others could count on him and trust him, and they undoubtedly loved him. He was a righteous man. And then it says he was devout, and that has dealing with his relationship with God. He was dedicated and committed to God. He was true to God. And I want to tell you something, friend. When we are devout, we will be right with God. We will be right and get along with others. We get along with our spouse. We get along with the children, with the parents, with the church, in society. when you find the reason so many people are so downright ornery and cantankerous is because they're not right with God. They're all upset inside and they take it out on us. So get right with God, at least during the Christmas season. And if you do it during the Christmas season, maybe you like it so much, you'll do it all the year round. That's at least our prayer. And so this good man, we are told, was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That is, he was waiting for the Messiah, because Israel from day one been looking for the Messiah to come. And that was their consolation when the Messiah was come. So to this great man, Simeon, the Holy Spirit had revealed that he would not taste death until he had personally seen the Messiah. Now, that was a great promise for a devout Jew as Simeon. It was almost an unbelievable promise. And yet Simeon was a man of faith. He believed God and he expected that before he died that he would see the Messiah. It would be like if God would tell us today, you're going to live until you see the return of Jesus from heaven. Wouldn't that be amazing? See? And so if he would tell us that, why then it would be unbelievable. Would you believe it? Simeon believed it and followed through on it. So the stage is set. Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to the temple for the second rite. They're going to offer a sacrifice for the boy and then dedicate him to God. When Mary and Joseph arrive at the temple, the Holy Spirit of God tells Simeon, he says, go over to the temple at a certain place in the temple. And when he went over there, he saw the infant Jesus. The Holy Spirit directed him right spot. So they intersected and he met Mary and Joseph. The Holy Spirit makes Simeon to know that the Messiah has arrived. He is here. Go to this place. And he came, and so we read, he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after this custom of laws, then look at here. He took him up in his arms and he blessed God. So godly Simeon takes up the child in his arms and he sings a song. Blesses God, sings a song. So the song of Simeon begins with the baby Jesus in his arms. And he's holding that Christ child, the Messiah. And he sings in verse 29. He says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. What is he saying? Well, he's saying when you look at it, it's truly amazing. It shows forth his faith. Simeon is saying, I have seen the Messiah, the Savior. I know him. I trust him. I love him. Now let me die. I'm not afraid to die. That's what he's saying. And I'm going to tell you, you're not ready to die until you met the Savior. And if you haven't met Jesus, you're not ready to die. But you're going to die, and you need to get it right with Jesus. You ought to get it right now. You ought to just say right now in the program, right in the service, Dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. I've sinned against you, dear Jesus. And I ask you to just take away my sins. And I'll forsake those sins, and I'll make you the Lord of my life, and I'll follow you. Just pray that in your own words. Don't get fancy. The thee and the thous, forget it. Just talk to God. He's looking at your heart anyway, not your mouth. And that's what Simeon did. He held Jesus. Now he knew that death was conquered. He knew that death couldn't harm him. That death was an emancipation. He is being set free from death. Simeon had taken the Lord Jesus into his heart. He was trusting Jesus, and he had found salvation. And because he found salvation, he wasn't afraid of dying. He wasn't afraid of death. He was ready for eternity. So today, until and unless you have Jesus, you need to take him in your heart. You're not ready. Till you've called upon his name, as I just told you to do and invited you to do, you're not saved. You're not ready to depart. You're not ready for eternity. You have to have Jesus. And with that faith and confidence, when you ask Jesus into your heart, then you can say, Simeon said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. The old man reveals a great truth that many of this day do not fully grasp, and that is he had seen salvation. He continues, he says in verse 30, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Now look at that for a minute, will you? Old Simeon holds that tiny baby That's more than a baby. It's the Son of God. It is God. He's holding in his arms. And here it is, salvation. And he says, I've seen the salvation with Jesus. You know what that's telling us? Salvation is a person. Is a person. It's Jesus. Simeon says he sees salvation. He's looking at a person. He's looking now at Jesus Christ. Jesus was so named because he would save his people from their sins. Jesus was named because he would be salvation from sin. Salvation is a person. It is not a church. Simeon didn't look over at the temple and say, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He didn't look at the Jordan River where John the Baptist would be baptized. He didn't look at the Jordan River and say, now I have seen my salvation. He didn't look at a bunch of good works he had done and point to those good works and say, now I have seen my salvation. He says, I have seen Jesus Christ, and that's my salvation. Jesus said the same thing in John 14, 6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he got very narrow, and he says, nobody, no man is going to see the Father. Nobody's going to go to heaven except by me, a person, Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know him personally? Oh, you know about him. Everybody knows about him. The devil knows about him. Everybody knows about Jesus. But do you know him personally? Have you asked that prayer? You made that prayer. Jesus Christ is the only way salvation. And I'm going to tell you, friends, if you haven't found him, you're in a precarious position. I read about an atheist, and he told an old pastor, he says, can you prove it? There you talk about hell. You can't prove there's hell. Old pastor says, oh, yeah, I can. The atheist says, you can prove there's a hell? Yeah, the pastor says, just wait 1 second after you're dead and you'll know there's a hell. But that's too long to wait, because when you're in eternity, you're no changing after you die, after death, the judgment. So that's what he's saying. Simeon is saying, I'm holding that salvation. It's a person. And then Simeon continues and he says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Now here's something that'll make it an eye-opener. Because he says to lighten, he talks about the Gentiles first. To lighten the Gentiles and then the Israel. That's under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. God's telling him what to say. He's put the Gentiles before the Jews. That is never heard of. Because the Gentiles, they were never placed before the Jews. It was always the Jews first and then the Gentiles. But Simeon knows the Old Testament scripture. They teach the Messiah is going to come to the Jew first. And though then the Jew, he's going to go and bless the Gentiles. And so what are we told? We're told that the Lord Jesus came to the Jews and the Jews rejected him. They turned him away. He came unto his own and his own received him not. And Simeon says, he's going to the Gentiles. And he went to the Gentiles. And those 10 Gentiles came to Jesus by the thousands and the millions coming to Jesus, being born again. But I want to tell you something. Remember this. The day is going to come when the days of the Gentiles have their time fulfillment is done. And then Israel is going to turn to the Lord Jesus. And someday the Jews, there's some already Jews for Jesus, have embraced Jesus Christ as the Messiah now. But in that final day, there's going to be a great turning of Israel to God. And that would be a great and glorious day for the church, for the world, for the kingdom of God. The Jewish nation is going to come in mass. But at first, the Gentiles will come. Simeon told that. How did he know that? Spirit of God. And then he goes on and he turns to Mary. And he says to Mary, verse 34, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which shall be spoken against. What does Simeon mean, the fall and rising of many in Israel? Well, do you remember when the scriptures tells us, it declares about the Lord Jesus, whosoever shall fall upon this stone shall be broken? Israel had stumbled over the lowly Jesus. He was a stumbling stone to them, and he was an offense to the Greeks. They fell over the Lord Jesus Christ, and they rejected him because he didn't fit into their program. We would say it today, he didn't fit into their narrative, because the Messiah, when he comes, he's going to rule and reign, and he's going to crush the enemy of the Roman Empire and rule over the whole world. Well, that's yet to come. There's a spirit in there. But until that happens, the Jewish people didn't know that. They thought the Messiah immediately was going to rule and reign over the world. And so they had their own plans and their own purpose, and they missed the mark. He says they're going to rise and fall. You see, it's not so much that God judges a man, that a man judges himself. A man judges himself. You see here, when a person is confronted with Jesus Christ, like I'm doing now, poorly indeed, but I'm doing it, and they present him in his loveliness and his goodness and his kindness and his gentleness and his beauty and his mercy and his love. Well, now, when I present that Jesus Christ, this wonderful person, and the person opens his heart to Jesus Christ and takes him as his Savior, he rises. But if he rejects, he falls. And it isn't God's choice. It's your choice. Man judges himself, not God. See, when that person, that same person, he hears about the beautiful Jesus, and he prays, "Dear Jesus, please come into my heart. I love you, and I just take you as my Savior and take away my sins. Call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved." If he does that, he will rise. But if that person, when so confronted by the wonderful, glorious Savior, if that person is cold and hostile and unrepentant, unremoved, even indifferent, that person is condemned. That person is eternally lost, and it's been his choice. He falls because he rejects Jesus Christ. Simeon says Jesus Christ is going to be the rise of many and the fall of many. And the cutting point, that division, is Jesus Christ. And it's your choice. There's no middle ground. You say, "I want to get in between." Jesus said, "You're not for me, you're against me." And that stands to this day. You have to, you're in Christ or you're out of Christ. You're for Jesus or you're not for Jesus. You're in or you're out, you're heaven or you're hell. And it's all your choice. He isn't deciding it for you. We have a cult going around saying that Jesus, God, picks out those that can be saved and those that are going to be lost. That's free will. You have that free will. And that's what Simeon is saying. You choose. God isn't choosing for you and saying, "You're going here and you're going there." Oh, no, no. That scripture didn't come from God. It's right here in the scriptures. And that young person, that you hear that young person or that older person, that doesn't matter. You can accept Christ or you can reject Christ. The ball is in your court. Simeon is saying many will fail, many will fall, but many will rise. Many have risen. Many have risen because they've come to Christ. There was Seneca said long time ago, "What man needs today above all was a hand let down to lift him up." Jesus did that. Just that's exactly what man needed. They needed what Jesus did, and this blessed Jesus reached down his hand, and he picked us up, and he took us up if we received him. It is that blessed hand of Jesus that lifts us from the old life to the new life. It's the blessed hand of Jesus that lifts us from the miry clay, sets our feet on the solid rock. It's the wonderful hand of Jesus, the blessed hand of Jesus, lifts us from our gloom and puts a new song in our heart. It's the blessed hand of Jesus that lifts us from the life of shame and puts us on the pathway to glory. It's the hand of Jesus, the blessed hand of Jesus, lifts us from a life of sin, puts our feet on the road to glory. It's the blessed hand of Jesus that lifts us from a life of sin and puts us on the life of honor and purity. Oh, yes. This child is set for the fall and the rising of many in Israel and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Friend, I see that all the time, and it makes my heart ache and it hates my heart sick. Sometimes I rejoice when they open their heart and they choose to Jesus Christ and they rise, and I've seen them reject Jesus Christ and they fall and they're lost. And you know what? That's happening right now, this minute. I presented Jesus Christ as a Savior. And you can come to Him or you can reject Him. You can rise or you can fall. It's all in your hand. Old Simeon is right. And I've seen it in my ministry. Those who heard the gospel and they came to Jesus, beautiful Jesus. They opened their heart to Jesus and they rise. And many of them have risen all the way to heaven. We're in glory now. And I've seen those who turned Jesus away and walked away. And they're all in eternity now. And I leave that to God. But I know that if you don't have Jesus, you're going to go into hell, the torments of hell. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 3, verse 36. Jesus said that. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. And then finally, Simeon closes the prophecies, and he speaks to, and then he, not finally, but he speaks to Mary. And he says, Mary, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Warren Wiersbe says the image of the sword was for Mary alone. It spoke of the suffering and sorrow she would bear as the mother of the Messiah. This suggests that Joseph was dead when Jesus began his ministry 30 years later, or Joseph would have been included. The Greek word means a large sword such as Goliath used, and the verb means constantly keep on piercing. And I've always wondered and wondered so many times, it says that Mary pondered these things in her heart. She must have thought when then as time came by, then these things came to pass. She must have thought about how that sword was going to pierce when she saw the son rejected by Israel, his son rejected by the Israelites, the Israel leaders. He must have thought when he was about that, she thought of that pierce in his household when she saw the priests and how they rejected Jesus. She must have thought about it when the time and saw him poor and understood. She must have thought about that sword that would pierce her when she thought of the prophecy of Simeon. Old Simeon said, when the Jews saw, when she saw Jesus on the cross, she thought again of that sword that's going to pierce her soul. When she saw his blessed hand spiked to the cross and saw this blood in blood in his head, in his feet, in his side. When she saw him on that awful crucifixion and she saw the thorn-crowned brow. When she saw his blood and the dirt and the sweat and the cursing and the taunting and the laughing and the mockery, when she heard them cry from the cross and heard Jesus cry from the cross, not once but seven times, what went through her heart and soul? Oh, yeah, Mary, Simeon says, sword's going to pierce your heart, going to pierce your soul, and sure enough. And then finally, Simeon said, the thoughts of many, may be revealed. Jesus Christ is a revealer of the thoughts of the heart. Jesus Christ shows what a real man's real character is. He shows, we can just see the outside, but Jesus Christ shows us what's in the heart. He shows, he reveals the thoughts of the heart. There is no neutrality with Jesus Christ. Remember Paul said about the cross of Christ. He said it's an offense to many. It's offended and crucified by Christ. He says that the people show their true colors when you put Jesus Christ up. What do you think of Jesus Christ? And their character comes out and you see who they are and where they are and what they're doing. He's the revealer of hearts and souls, is Jesus Christ. To some, there's open defiance and open enmity. To some, there's those people rejoice in that salvation. And they ask Jesus Christ to come into their hearts. And the encouragement of living, the thoughts of many may be revealed. And so I'm going to ask you today, right now, what does Jesus Christ mean to you, my friend? How do you react to him and his claims? What does he reveal in your heart and your being? Friend of mine, the thoughts can call forth from that heart You are for him or you are against him. You love him or you put him off. You stumble or you find. You rise or you fall. And you're doing one of the two right now. Just like Simeon said, you're going to rise or you're going to fall. And I pray to God you will rise. Because when you open your heart to Jesus, you will rise. But if you reject the Savior, you're going to meet an angry God and a great white throne. And there'll be no appeal. No appeal from that throne. It's the lake of fire with the devil and his angels. And so now I believe that there are many that God is talking to right now. He's knocking at your door. He says, I stand at the door, knock the door of your heart. And I don't, they're not a voice or anything like that, but you just know, I need Jesus. I want Jesus. And if you feel that, if the Holy Spirit's talking to you, he's talking to you now this Christmas day, what better time when Jesus is born to have him born in your life and you pray and just tell Jesus you're a sinner. He knows it. He wants you to confess it. Dear Jesus, I've sinned against you, but I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. Pray it right now. Pray it with me. I ask you to come into my heart, and I promise I'll serve you the best I can. Jesus taught repentance. He says you've got to turn from your sins, and you're never going to be perfect. I'm 95 years old and got all kinds of imperfections and sin. But you got to strive to purge, and you got to do all you can to live for Jesus. Live like Jesus. And so you pray, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I ask you to come into my heart, and I'll serve you the best I can, follow you the best I can. Then you thank him because he is there, and you are saved. You're a child of God, and you didn't fall. You're one that rose. Dear Jesus, we pray that multitudes will make that prayer right now and many be turned to the saving grace of Jesus Christ and find joy and happiness. Pray for those who are lonely. This is the first Christmas without a loved one, maybe. Some are awfully sick. Some are awful close to death. May they just put their faith in you, trust you, and you'll take them over. And like old Simeon, now I've seen my Savior. I'm not afraid to die. Just bless them all, help them all, and they'll have the best Christmas they ever had with that Christmas they took Jesus and gave their life to him. Pray it in Jesus' name. Now we need you to write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We need your help. You got to help us if you want this to carry on. Pray about it. And then write to us or send it on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. If you want the new song, write for this. Say, want the new song, like the new song. And we'll be happy to comply. We read every letter. We answer everyone that writes to us. So you just do that. So I hope you'll have a wonderful Christmas day. Hope you'll have a wonderful week. And next week, we'll all get together again. We'll start a new year, Lord willing.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.